Ephesians 1 and verse 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for bringing us here today and for your word. And Father, we ask that you would bless the preaching, Father. Just let me relax in your love and share it with the congregation today. And I ask that each one who hears it here and through the internet, that they would be drawn into your presence and into your love. Do help us, Lord. Encourage us, heal us, and strengthen us. And most of all, send your spirit to change our hearts and to see who you are. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off today's sermon with a riddle. A riddle. Who was God before creation? Who was God before creation? Now, I want you to think about it, but not be too distracted about it. You know, if you run across it here and there in your mind, but don't be preoccupied. For the answer to that riddle will be revealed, hopefully, in this sermon. I want us to look at something here and think about something. We've had at least three sermons on the Trinity, haven't we? When I say that God is a Trinity, you're probably saying, oh boy, here we go again. Maybe you think about the fact, well, I don't really understand it. It's a mystery. But when I say God is love, what's your reaction? See, I see smiles on your face, and I see, Trinity, but God is love. It's warm, isn't it? It's like being beside a crackling fire. It's like being embraced. Let me tell you something. Here's the truth. God is love because he is a Trinity. God is love because he is a Trinity. And if we can move from it being so confusing, you know, the Father's not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and da-da-da-da, and just think that God is love because he is a Trinity. The Father has loved the Son forever. The Son has loved the Father, and the Holy Spirit shares in the love of the Father and the Son, and he brings it to us. And we're invited to be a part of this Trinity in sharing the love of God. I ask you in this riddle, who was God before creation? Who was God before creation? Let me hear some of the answers. Nobody wants to take a guess. God is Father. God is Father. Before there was a creation, before he was creator, before there was creation over which he ruled, before he was a ruler, he was a father. I want you to think about that. And my message today is this. Our Father is the source of all. Everything that is because he has always been Father. And a Father, our Father is the source of all. He didn't become a Father because he made things. He made things because he is a Father. And the Father always had a Son. That's how we know he's a Father. And that son is Jesus Christ. And he has always been a son. And the Father has always been his Father. And the Holy Spirit has always been the one that was in the midst of their love and in their relationship. God, first and foremost, is our Father. Why do you think we sang all those songs today about him being our Father? And especially that last one. Sometimes we allow the physical fathers we have had or did not have or did not grow up with and all their failings and our memories and our experiences, it becomes a hindrance to really embracing God in a very personal way as our Father. Our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, is not your father that you grew up with or without. We just have to be honest about it because it does affect it. The truth is, we are to learn what a father is like, not from what we experience from our human fathers, but from our Heavenly Father. I'm going to say it again. We are to learn and let it influence our lives what a father, a true father is from our Heavenly Father and not from our physical fathers. In fact, by coming to know our Heavenly Father and experiencing him and his love redeems us from the scars and the wounds of our physical fathers. The Trinity is very practical. God being Father is real. And he really loves us. And it can change our lives. God is love because he is a Trinity, because he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It changes even our behaviors. You know, we like to work. We like to do this and that. Give me 5 steps to becoming a better Christian. Today is not going to be, and this whole series is not about steps that you can do to change your life. It's about coming to know your Father, coming to know his love, coming to taste and see that he is good, brings about more change in our lives than any other work you can do. I'm not against steps. I'm not against the disciplines of grace, but they will mean nothing unless you embrace God as your Father. Another question for you. I'd like to get you to think. Who comes to mind when you think about the love of God? Now, you're going to automatically revert back to what I've been saying about the Father. But let's just be honest. When you think about the demonstration of the love of God, when you think about the love of God, we often think about Jesus on the cross, right? Okay? Thanks for being honest in that way. I have something to tell you today. God, our Father, is the source of love. You say, well, what about Jesus? Jesus expressed the love of the Father. It was not his love that originated him or drew him to come and die for us. He loved us as well, but he was not the originator. Remember, I told you early on that the Father is the originator. He is the initiator. He is the administrator of salvation. The Son is the one who comes and pays for it. And the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and applies to it. But the primary source of our redemption, the redeeming love, is from the Father, not the Son. It does not exclude the Son. He paid it, but the Father initiated it. We've already had a sermon on what? John 3:16. Have we not? God so loved the world. What? Who? The Father. How do I know it's the Father? It says because God so loved the world that he sent the Son. Now, if it was the Son who decided to come on his own, Then it would say, Jesus so loved the world that he came and died for us. It does not say that. See, my point is that the Father is the source of all. He's the source of our salvation. He's the source of our relationship with him. And it's to the Father we look, as we'll see a little bit later. More so, he was the primary lover, not the Son. Does this exclude the Son? No, he loved us as well and came and died. He volunteered to do it. But it's the Father's idea, if you can use such a term. And he had always, I ask you, what was the Father, or what was God before he created anything? He was Father. He was Father. He did not create things and say, now I'm the Father of all of that. No. He's always been the Father. The Son has always been the Son, and the Holy Spirit has always been the Holy Spirit, doing what the Father directs out of love. The Father is the source of all love. The Son comes and pays that price for our love, for his love, pays the price for us to be loved by the Father. But the Father has always loved you. I want to say that as well. I got a lot of things to say to you today. And Father, just help us to take it in. The Father has always loved you. There was never a time that he did not love you. Even before you were created. How do we know that? We just read it in Ephesians 1. I'll read it again. He says, Paul, as he writes this, and we read it here today, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He didn't make Adam and Eve. He says, now I'm going to choose them to be loved by me. He's always loved you. He's always chosen you to be his beloved. John Owen, a 1600 AD, somewhere in there, 1600s. John Owen was a great theologian. He said this. And he used an analogy of the Father's love in the following way. He said this. Jesus Christ, in respect of the love of the Father, is but the beam, the stream, wherein though all our light and all our refreshment lies, yet by him we are led to the fountain. He is not the fountain. He is not the source. The Son of the eternal love itself. Would believers exercise themselves herein, they would find it a matter of no small spiritual improvement. You want to improve your walk with the Lord? It would be no small spiritual improvement in their walking with God. This is from his book, Communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I asked my great artiste and great wife to make some drawings to help you see and illustrate. The Father is the source of all things, the source of love. In the book of Jeremiah, you can look at this, chapter 2 and verse 13, God is called the spring of living water. Here I have a fountain. And below the fountain, there's a spring of water. And it bubbles up. It branches out. And then we have streams that come from the spring. But the source is not the stream. It's not the bubbling up. The source is at the bottom, at the beginning. God the Father is the source of living water. Jesus, by analogy, and again, every analogy breaks down, even where it says in Jeremiah, the source is the Father. The streams are the stream, we can take one, is Jesus Christ. Or you can say one of the streams is the Holy Spirit. But let's be in particular, because Jesus came to reveal the Father and the Father's love. When we see Jesus, we are drawn back to the fountain, back to the spring. The river would not be the river or the stream without the spring, without the fountain. Are you with me? Make sense? And as Jesus came to reveal the Father, to say, that's the Father. It's His love. Another analogy is the sun. Not S-O-N, but S-U-N. When we look at the sun and we see the rays of the sun and say, wow, you see the rays. You can look through a window and see the sunbeams. But the sunbeam is not the source of it all. The sun or the Father is the source of all love. Jesus is called the light of the world, but He is not the source of the light. Are you getting this? You see, it is the love of the Father that we're being drawn to, even by these crude analogies. I even brought a flashlight with me today. Now, you know, you've seen a flashlight, especially if it was dark, and especially if we cut the lights out in here, which I'm trying to do. Ooh. Some of y'all went trick-or-treating. That's what's wrong with you. So this is spooky. It's dark in here. You need to leave it. Anyway, I have a flashlight in this darkened room now. Okay? And you can see on your laps, because I'm shining on your laps, you can see a light beam, right? Everybody see a light beam in their laps. Now, what would it be like for you to focus? And that's what you're doing. You're basically focusing because I'm putting the light on the Bible, and now you can read it. But if you stop there and said, oh, there's the light, and not considered the source of the light, which is this flashlight, you've done okay, but you have not got down to the real deal. Are you with me? I'm going to cut the lights back on. See, He is the light of the world. Well, Jesus said that we're the light of the world. And then Jesus said, you're the light of the world. But guess where the light comes from? The Father. The Father of light. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? The Father of light. All God's good purposes comes from the Father. It's the Father, y'all. It's the Father that Jesus pointed to. These are analogies, and they do break down, and they are not the fullness of it. In John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18, I won't turn and read it for time's sake, but I want you to read it. In fact, I want to assign you to start reading the Upper Room Discourse. And that starts in John 14, goes all the way to John 17. I want to assign everybody listening, everybody here today, to read it and ask God to open your eyes. But in John 10 and verses 14 through 18, you can study this later, Jesus tells us that He's come to glorify the Father, and He tells us that He was sent by the Father to give His life for His sheep. It was not His initiation. He came to do it and fulfill the Father's desires. I want to go to John 10 and read just a little bit of this for you to show you this, and especially John 10 and in verse 18. John 10, 18. Jesus says this, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down, speaking of His life, of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The Father says, go and lay down your life for my children, for my sheep. It's from the Father. He is the source. That's my point. He is the source of all of God's love. He is the source of everything. It's to the Father. That's what Jesus came to do and to glorify. In the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus, that night, His last night on earth, wanted His disciples to recognize that it is the Father who is the source of all of His love. The Father is the source of all God's purposes, all God's promises. I want you to look at something with me, and I want you to think about this. God bears just wrath against sin. God has a desire, vehement desire against sin. And the sin that is in his people. But at the same time, he has this wrath against sin. The marvel and the beauty of the gospel is this God who has a wrath towards sin, the same God, the Father, the same God, in great mercy, the same Father, who's grieved at our sins, has himself initiated the work of divine mercy towards sinners. He is both the one who is wrathful against sin and the one also who has initiated the work of redemption against sinners. How can this be? It is who he is. It is who he is. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 2. We've read it many times, but I want you to see it in light of the Trinity, in light of the Father. See, what I'm doing is, in fact, I'm going to have two sermons. I'm going to have another sermon on the Father next week. And then I'm going to go to the Son. And then I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit. But you need to see the Father. See, the Holy Spirit and the Son and Jesus, they are love because they are Trinity. It is in that relationship they enjoyed before us, before any creation, that they are inviting us to come and share. It is what changes our lives, this relationship. I want to read to you in Ephesians chapter 2. You've read this many times. And I just have to turn one page from Ephesians 1. And then verse 3 says, all of us lived among them at one time. What? Talking of sinners. All of us. Gratifying the craving of our sinful nature. That's what we did. Let me just say this. I may say it again next week. We desire and we have affections to things that we think are more desirable. All of my sins, all of your sins, is because we find that sin more desirable than God. Let me come back to that later. But it's when God changes our heart to see him, he opens the eyes of our heart to see him and to see his beauty and to see his love and to see his majesty, that God becomes more attractive, more desirable than our sins. It is then that when we come into the place where we find God so desirable, so wonderful, that we change. See, you do what you find desirable. I do what I find desirable. But when we begin to find the Father desirable, then we don't want that no more. We want him. That's why I'm doing, that's why we're going through all of this about God. And it is, we change as we behold his glory, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, and we go from glory to glory. Not through steps, but he changes our desires and he truly becomes more desirable, more valuable than anything else. But anyway, like the rest, we're following its desires more than God. And thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Objects of whose wrath? Our neighbor's wrath? Jesus' wrath? The Father's wrath. But at the same time, look at this beauty of the gospel. At the same time, being objects of his wrath, but because of his, who's the his here? The Father. But because of his great love for us, his great love, at the same time having wrath, he steps in and he shows us mercy. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. It wasn't Christ who did it. It was the Father, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in the midst of all of this love. Between the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Father and the Holy Spirit sharing it all. That's what you've been invited to. You're invited to a love feast that will fill you more than any ribs or chicken wings. It's a love feast. We're seated with Him in heavenly realms at His table. We've been invited to the Father's banquet. And He wants us to have our fill of Him. I want to read you another theologian. His name is William Simonton. He said this: the true view of the matter is this. The Father's divine love is the cause of the Son's atonement. I'm going to say that again. Here's the true view. The Father's divine love is the cause of the Son's atonement, and not that the Son's atonement is the cause of the Father's divine love. Did you get that? I want to read it again. Repetition. We may go a little late today. But I want you to get this down in your spirit. And Father, as I read this, I just ask that You would just open our eyes of our hearts and let us desire You and just see how wonderful You are. The true view of the matter is this. The Father's divine love is not the cause of the Son's atonement. And not that the Son's atonement is the cause of the Father's love. The gift of His Son is ever regarded as the most perfect manifestation of the Father's grace, of the Father's love. It all goes back to the Father. That is the Son's job. That is the work of the Holy Spirit as well. Is it any wonder, as we come to see, have come to see, that the Father is the source of all love? Is it any wonder Jesus said in Matthew 6 that when you pray, pray our Father? That's what Jesus said to do. He didn't say, pray Jesus. Is it a sin? Is it wrong to pray to Jesus? No. Is it wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit? No. But even the Holy Spirit's job is to point to Jesus. And then Jesus' job is to point us to the Father. That's why He said, when you pray, pray our Father who art in heaven. Is it any wonder that in Matthew 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, of My own self, I can do nothing, even lay down My life. What I see the Father do, amen, that is what I do. What I hear from the Father, and I am adding to the Scripture now. What He hears from the Father, that's what He does. John 15, even the parable of the vine and the branches and the fruit. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. You know what that means? That He is the owner of the vineyard. The owner of the vineyard. Just as the vineyard owner plants vines in order to have fruit and receive a harvest, so the Father is the source of all things, even the source of the vine, Jesus. Even the source of the branches, us. So the Father rightly receives the fruits that Jesus brings through us, the branches. It's to the Father's glory that we bear fruit. It is to the Father's glory that we love one another as He has loved us. It's to the Father's glory that we have love and that we are patient and we are kind. It's to the Father's glory, the vine dresser, the vine owner. It's all to the Father. This is through abiding in His presence, in His Word, abiding through prayer. You see, we sometimes act like God's chief end is to glorify us and help us enjoy our lives forever. That's not His chief end. And we receive Jesus was to pay for our sins so God wouldn't be on our case. Really? In the upper room discourse, He gave a vision that the salvation is of the Father and to invite us into that. J.I. Packer, another theologian, said this: if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child. And if you're God's child, guess what? God is your father. And having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook of life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well at all. I want you to listen to a song about the Father's love. It is entitled The Father's Letter and His Love Letter. And I know you've heard this before, but in light of today's word, I want us to listen to this song again. And I think each of you may have by now a handout written. And those of you who are listening online, you can listen. Let's play that now.
I have nothing else to say but to pray to our Father. Our Father. Our Father in heaven, who lives in all those who believe and who reaches out to those who do not yet believe. Father, let us experience your love. Something that goes beyond understanding. And those here and those who are listening who have not asked you to be their Father, ask that this day, those who don't even hear this message, that you would draw to yourself. And let this relationship called eternal life, which is to know you, be transforming. That we would find you more desirable than the things we have desired in the past. Change us. Draw us nearest to your heart. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 6. John 6. Jesus was dealing with unbelief amongst the Pharisees and his own disciples. And Jesus said to them in verse 41, as the Jews were grumbling, because he said, notice Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. In that day, heaven was also a euphemism for God. He had been telling them, I have come from the Father. And they were grumbling about that. He says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And he said, how can this be? You're the son of Joseph, etc. He says, still, I came down from the Father. See, they wouldn't even mention God's name. They would say heaven or whatever. But he's talking about God. He's not just talking about this place. He said, verse 43, stop grumbling amongst yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught of God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes. I tell you the truth, that he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert and they died. But here's the bread that comes down from the Father. For the Father has sent him. We've established that. Which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. It's interesting that when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted on desires. He said, hey, the devil said, hey, turn these stones. You've been fasting all this time. Turn these stones into bread and satisfy yourself. And Jesus told him what? You shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. It is that relationship with the Father. And he told him several other things, but I want to go over as we prepare to eat of the bread of heaven and drink of the blood through the wine. Verse 60, I think it's 61, yes. Aware that even his disciples were grumbling about this. Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? He says, listen to me. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. We desire all the fleshly things. We love them. But it's the Spirit that gives life. Flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. And he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless who? The Father has enabled him. So as we eat the bread, drink the wine, and our minds are pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And rightly so. But that's not where it should end. This bread and wine should point us to the love of the Father. For he sent the Son to express his love to us. Father in heaven, we thank you. Our Father, thank you for making us your children. Thank you for loving us before you created anything. And thank you for expressing your love through Jesus Christ. We ask that you'd bless the bread, Father. And when we say that, God, we mean and we ask you to let us experience your love through your Son and his sacrifice, through his body. For you have made us a part of the body of Christ through faith. And therefore you love us as you've loved Jesus from all eternity. We thank you for the wine. We ask you to bless it as it points to the blood of Jesus that was paid for us as another expression of your deep, deep love for us. Oh, Father, do a work in our hearts, where we desire you and the things of you more than anything. For we know, if we've just read, as your Son said, the flesh profits nothing. Eating the bread profits nothing. But the bread of life, the blood and the life of Jesus giving for us, that we be your children and sons and share in your great love that you had for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Do that work in our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.